To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.
また、ラオデキアにある教会の御使いに書き送れ、アーメンである方、忠実で真実な証人、神に作られたものの根源である方がこう言われる。私はあなたの行いを知っている。あなたは冷たくもなく熱くもない。私はむしろあなたが冷たいか熱いかであってほしい。このようにあなたは生ぬるく熱くも冷たくもないので、私の口からあなたを吐き出そう。あなたは自分は富んでいる、豊かになった、乏しいものは何もないと言って、実は自分が惨めで、哀れで、貧しくて、盲目で、裸のものであることを知らない。私はあなたに忠告する、豊かなものとなるために、火で精錬された金を私から買いなさい。また、あなたの裸の恥を払わさないために、着る白い衣を着なさい。また目が見えるようになるため目に塗る目薬を買いなさい。私は愛する者を叱ったり懲らしめたりする。だから熱心になって悔い改めなさい。見よ、私は戸の外に立って叩く。誰でも私の声を聞いて戸を開けるなら、私は彼のところに入って彼と共に食事をし、彼も私と共に食事をする。勝利を得る者を私と共に私の座に着かせよう。それは私が勝利を得て私の父と共に父の御座についたのと同じである。耳のある者は御霊が諸教会に言われることを聞きなさい。
Good morning again. How are you guys enjoying your Memorial Day weekend? Good, good.Whenever I think of Memorial Day weekend, I think of two things. One is basketball, because that's when it's the playoffs, and back when I was living in LA, I used to play in the Japanese League, and we used to have what's called the Tigers Tournament on Memorial Day weekend, and that was always a fun time. But of course, Memorial Day is more than just basketball. More than just barbecue, right? It's just remembering those who have fallen. That is what Memorial Day is for, right? It's for just the memorial of those who have fallen in war. And so, let's remember that as we enjoy our weekend. Man, this keeps on going in and out on me.Don't block it?
Don't block with your hand. From the microphone to the receiver, don't block the wave. Yeah.
All right. Today we're going through a series on vision and our core value. And 2 weeks ago, I shared with you that the vision I believe that God is leading JCC towards is that we would be a church that we would be a place that we could encounter God. JCCT, I believe, can be that place where when people come in, they won't just hear me speak, or they won't just hear good music, but they would actually encounter God. And if you want more detail on what that is, go ahead and check our website out and listen to the message. But our core values, as I shared last week, is we have 8 core values, and just to read them off real quick, it's love God wholeheartedly, cultivate authentic community, hear God clearly, prophesy accurately, give generously, seek the lost intentionally, heal miraculously, love the marginalized extravagantly. And I believe if we do those things, we will facilitate a place that would encounter God, and that will impact us individually and supernaturally impact our city. Now, I don't expect you all to remember all of those things, so I try to break it up into categories. And it's simple. The categories are simple. Our vision is to encounter God. That's simple enough to remember, I hope. And our core value could fall into 3 just categories, and those 3 are love, pray, and obey. Simple enough, right? I don't think that's too hard. And those graphs are just there to help you remember the 3. Love, the first one on top, is everything we do is out of love, so it covers everything. And the one on the bottom is love is at the core of everything, and everything flows out of love. And the third one is, these 3 categories, they kind of overlap. You could put one in one category and one in another, and it'll probably still make sense. But last week we talked about love, and that love is the foundation of all that we do. As a church, everything we do should be out of love. Amen? And even if we're rebuking, or even if we're correcting, everything, the goal should be out of love. And everything we do is not because we're so loving, but it's a response to a revelation that God loves us. It's reflecting God's love. And if you feel like you're losing that love, hopefully this oh man, I am struggling. Hopefully, if you're beginning to feel like you're losing love, your heart's growing cold, the scripture says in the last days, the hearts of people will grow cold. It's important that you place yourself in an environment or in a position to receive the revelation of God's love in your life. That's the best way. That's the simple solution. If you feel like your love is growing cold, put yourself in a position where you would receive God's love. Simple disciplines are reading the Bible. The Bible talks about God's love. It tangibly shows God's love to people in the past. Go to church where their people are loving. And 3, love will be our greatest weapon. It will be our most effective weapon. One of my favorite speakers always says, lovers gets more done in the kingdom than doers, than workers. If you love well, you'll get more done in the kingdom. But if you want to hear more about love, again, we have our website. Go check it out. But today I want to talk about our core value of praying. Again, everything we do is done in love and because of love, but in the same breath, everything we do should be out of prayer. I believe the simple practice of praying before making big decisions will make the difference in our lives. prayer can be the difference in receiving all that we are meant to be and to live in and accomplish. I believe prayer can be that difference. Some of us, we're living a less than because we pray less. If we pray more, I believe we could live in more of God's fullness. And I really believe prayer is one of the most important spiritual discipline we can engage in. And because it's the most important one, I believe it's the most difficult one. It's easier to talk about praying than it is praying. It's easier for me to go stand up here and talk about praying for 30 minutes than it is for me to actually sit and pray for 30 minutes. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I think it's largely due to just our worldview. Many of us, we don't have a biblical worldview. Even when we're Christians, it's hard to have a biblical worldview because we're raised and born and taught from a secular worldview. And in a secular worldview, you've probably heard this term, but time is money. Have you heard that term before? If we're not producing something, then it's not very important. And prayer is actually sitting there producing nothing. It really seems like a waste of time when we pray, because we sit there and nothing's happening. Yesterday, we did a little graduation party for the high school students, and for the first time in my life, I made Cholula pork. Talking about that makes me hungry. My stomach is about to make a noise right now. It wasn't very difficult to make. It was pretty good though. If I do say so myself, it was really good. No, just kidding. What I did was buy a pork shoulder, about 6 pounds. I put some Hawaiian sea salt, which I got at Sprouts, and liquid smoke, like a tablespoon of liquid smoke. That's it. And I put it in the crock pot. But it took about 15 hours to cook. It just sat there for 15 hours. That's what prayer is like. You just sit there. And it doesn't look like anything is happening. But after 15 hours, it's amazing. Cholula pork. No, just kidding. But your spiritual life will take an amazing turn. Let me tell you, if you sit there for 15 hours straight, your quality of living spiritually would be amazing. So I want to talk a little bit about our core value in prayer. There's just so much to say about prayer, but today I want to talk about three things, and those three things are: hear God clearly, prophesy accurately, and heal miraculously. That's hear God clearly, prophesy accurately, heal miraculously. Before I talk about those three things, let's look back at the church in Laodicea. Let me read again from chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." The Laodicean church, they had two problems. One, their deeds were lukewarm. And two, if you go further down, it says in verse 17, you say, "I'm rich." Their two problems were this. They were, one, lukewarm in deeds, but two, they're rich. And today I just want to talk about the lukewarm. Information about the Laodicean church. They were known for their financial wealth, known for their medical advancement. Some scholars say people came to Laodicea who had eye problems, and they would put eye salve on people and it would help their vision. They were known for receiving instructions from both the Apostle John and the Apostle Paul. So it was a pretty It was a pretty nice city. It was a good city. It was an affluent city. It was culturally advanced. But it had one problem. And that problem was they had poor water supply. Archaeologists have digged up places in Laodicea and found huge aqueducts. And what they would do is they would ship water in from the neighboring cities. And there was two neighboring cities. One was called Hierapolis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Hierapolis, but that city was known to have hot springs. And that those hot springs had healing qualities. And the other neighboring city was called Colossae. And it was known for their pure mountain cold water. And it would refresh people. And people would go to Hierapolis or Colossae just for their waters. And Laodicea, they would ship their water, because they didn't have their own water supply. They would ship the water from their neighboring cities. And by the time the water came to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. So the people in the city of Laodicea, they knew exactly what it meant to have lukewarm water. It was just, it was not tasty, but it got the job done. Now if you notice, what Jesus is rebuking this city about, what Jesus is rebuking this city for. He's rebuking this city, if you look in your Bibles, it says this, verse 15, I know your deeds. So he's not talking necessarily about their emotional passion for Jesus, but he's critiquing their works. Now it doesn't say what kind of deeds the Laodicean did. Maybe because they were a wealthy church, they could have done a lot. But Jesus says, your deeds are incomplete in my sight. They're neither hot nor cold. And I believe he's saying they're neither healing nor refreshing, like your neighboring cities. Now, if you look at the word deeds in Scripture, I believe it gives us a better example of what it means for Jesus to rebuke their deeds. In Matthew 15:6, it says, Jesus says, deeds are supposed to bring glory to God. Let me read Matthew 15:16. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The Laodicean church, they might have been a working church. Jesus didn't say, you have no deeds. It's just, the deeds you're doing, they're not good enough. They weren't bringing glory to God. Another example of what deeds is in Matthew 11, 2 through 6. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. If you're there, say amen. No one's there, all right. Okay, one person there. All right, I'm going to start then. All right, Matthew 11, starting from verse 2. It says, when John, this is John the Baptist, heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Now, in verse 2, when it says, when John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, some translation might say the deeds of the Messiah, the works of the Messiah. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you heard and see, what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. The deeds of Jesus, The works of Jesus are very clear if you look in scripture. And he gives us a short summary here. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who are of leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. I believe the Laodicean church, they had deeds. They were working, but they fell short of the Messiah's expectation. They fell short of what was possible with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you look at, I'll share just one more scripture explaining deeds, but if you look at John 14:12, this is an extraordinary promise by the Messiah, by Jesus himself. In John 14:12, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the deeds I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." Jesus says, the works I've been doing, and in Matthew 11, 2-6, he summarizes those works. He says, these things you will do to his disciples. And he says, and you will do even greater things than these. The expectation of Jesus for his church isn't just to be a nice church, a rich church, but it's a church that does the deeds of the Messiah. And what? Even greater. Even greater. John 14:12 again. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. The Laodicean church, they fell short of the Messiah's expectation. And because they fell short of the Messiah's expectation, what did Jesus say? Jesus didn't say, well, you tried. Or Jesus didn't say, well, you did some things well. Jesus didn't say, well, at least you're rich. But he says, because you're not doing these things, I will spit you out. Just like the water supply in your city is disgusting, and everyone knows it's disgusting, the things you are doing are not acceptable to me. And so I take that to heart, and that's why I believe here at JCCT, if we're not doing the things that the Messiah has taught us to do, then we're falling short. I don't want to be a church that is ready to be spit out of the Messiah's mouth. Amen? I hope you don't want to be a part of a church that is ready to be spat out. I want a church that when Jesus takes a drink, he says, oh man, that was really good. Like a kind of thing. I want to be that kind of church. Or even a church that's like, ooh, that was a little too hot, but it was so good, I'm going to take some more. I want to be a church where Jesus is pleased with. And so, again, our core value here is to love extravagantly, but also to pray extraordinary prayers. The first one is to hear God clearly. And what I mean by hear God clearly is, one, through his revealed word, through the Bible. Throughout the scriptures, it talks about meditating on God's word. And meditation is a practice where you just turn the scripture over and over and over. Psalms 1:2 talks about, blessed is the man who does not walk in the, or stand in the seat of the, or sit in the seat of the council of the wicked, but meditates on his word day and night. I want to be us to hear God's word clearly, and through that, and that's through the word of God. But at the same time, As we meditate on the revealed revelation of God, I believe it's possible to have a secondary revelation of God's Word. And it's important for that too. Because, you know, you can read the Bible all you want, and if you never hear God's voice, you're missing it. I believe meditation is for the purpose of hearing God's voice through His Word. In John 5:19, it talks about Jesus being in connection with God, not just through His revealed Word, but through revelation. In John 5:19, it says, Jesus gave them, His critics, this answer: "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Jesus says, what you see Me doing, I do in response to what God the Father is doing. Again, in John 5:30, it says this: "By Myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and My judgment is just, for I seek not to please Myself, but Him who sent Me." Again, by Myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. Jesus sees the Father, and He hears the Father. And everything He does is it's in union with the Father. For us to hear God clearly, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible to see and to hear what the Father is doing, just like Jesus saw and heard what the Father is doing. Let's move on. We also want to not just hear God clearly, but to prophesy accurately. I'm going to share a silly story. So yesterday I was preparing food, and I was making rice, and I was making a lot of rice, and I felt like it's a silly story, but I'm going to share it anyway. I felt like God was saying, "Cook 6 cups of rice," but my rice cooker, it could cook up to 8 cups of rice, and so I'm like, I'm just going to do 8. I need a lot of rice, I'm going to do 8. But I was using American cups in a Japanese rice cooker. Oh yeah, see, Kazumi is like, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're doing. So when I did 8 cups and I made the rice, it just turned out really bad. It was really hard. Some of the rice was uncooked, and you know, I was kicking myself in the butt later, and I was saying, man, I felt like God was saying, cook 6, and I just disobeyed and cooked 8. Yeah, all that to say is, you know, it's possible to hear God clearly, but if you don't obey, then it really doesn't mean anything. So, yeah, we want to hear God clearly, but obey God as we hear Him clearly. Even though it doesn't make sense to you at the time. At the time, making 8 cups made the most sense. Even though I heard make 6 cups, and if I would have probably made 6 cups, the rice would have turned excellent, just like my Kalulik pork. Anyways, prophesy accurately. That's the next point. As we pray, we want to hear God clearly, and we want to also prophesy accurately. And what I mean by prophesy accurately is, one, is to proclaim God's word. Because the gospel, although it's for today and it's applicable for us today, it is also very prophetic. Profoundly prophetic. It talks about future hope. By its nature, the gospel is prophetic. Because one day, our hope we have in the Lord will be realized. You know, as Christians, we should be people that looks forward to the future. Because in scripture it's clear, there will be a day where there will be no more tears, there will be no more shame, there will be no more sorrow. And our hope is in God's word, in His promise of that day coming soon. Amen. We should prophesy God's word accurately, meaning proclaiming the gospel, the good news, which is by nature prophetic. But I also mean, when I say prophesy accurately, I mean it in a very spiritual sense of being able to strengthen, encourage, and comfort others. I don't know if a lot of you will believe me, so turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Being able to prophesy accurately is something the scripture says we ought to strive for. Not just, oh, it's a good thing if someone does it, but I don't want to say commands, but it really does teach us that we should seek to prophesy accurately. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 3, it says, follow the way of love, and, just as important as love, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophesying. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire. Now, eagerly desire isn't just, oh, if it comes on me, that's fine. Eagerly desire is actually going out and making an effort to being able to do something you weren't able to do before. It says, eagerly desire spiritual gift, especially the gift of prophesying. For those who speak in tongues do not speak to other people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But those who prophesy speak to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophesying, and it's meant to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. I try to pray for people as much as I can at church. And there was one time a mother and daughter came up and asked for prayer. And so I said, sure, what do you want me to pray? What can I pray about? And they said, well, we're going back to Japan. So I said, okay, let me pray for you. So I started praying for them. And as I started praying for them, my normal practice is to just really just calm down and try to hear the voice of the Lord. But as I prayed for them, I just felt like just a really deep emptiness. But I also felt that I was supposed to encourage and strengthen and comfort, just as the word says. So I said, you know, I feel like God is going to fill you up. I feel like there's deep emptiness, but God is going to fill you up. And as you go to Japan, I believe, and I just, in my mind's eye, I imagine just a root. So I just told him, you know, going back to your roots, I believe it's going to be cathartic. I believe it's going to be healing and all that other stuff. And I just started saying that over them. That's a form of prophesying. And as I did that, the lady, she opened up even more to me, and she said, you know, and she started sharing to me, yeah, I'm going to Japan, and I'm going to see my father, and I haven't seen him in a long time, and, you know, it really just opened her up to more of God's love. And that's the power of prophesying. It really does, even for believers, it shows them how much God loves them. How intimately God knows them, tangibly through another brother or sister. And so I'm not able to prophesy just because I'm the pastor here. In scripture it says each and every one of you should follow love. And you all agree with that, right? Love is very important, right? But the second part is equally important. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophesying. And I believe he's saying that because it's available to each and every one of us who wants it. It is something we should eagerly desire. And finally, for us, our last core value for this prayer section is to heal miraculously. And we believe here at JCCT that healing, salvation, is of the entire person. Mind, body, spirit, and soul. That salvation isn't just going to heaven after I die. I mean, it's included. That's part of the package, but that's not all that there is to the package. I believe salvation is of the body, of the person's emotion, of the person's spirit, of the person's soul. If you look at Jesus' ministry, when he preached about the kingdom and he preached about salvation, he wasn't necessarily saying, believe in me and you'll go to heaven. That's part of it. But he was saying the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is near, is at hand. For those of you who are in need of some kind of salvation, even here and now, it is available for you. And I believe as a church, we need to make that accessible to people as well. Frankly, in my own ministry, I have not seen too many healings, physical healings. Although I pray for it all the time. I have seen enough to believe that it's true. But if we pray and people don't get healed, I believe the problem isn't on God's end of the equation. I believe a lot of times it's something maybe we're not praying right. I think, you know, we should reconsider how we pray sometimes. Or even reconsider how we receive sometimes. Now I believe if we do these three things well in the area of prayer, of course there's just a whole bunch of other ways we can pray, but if we do these three things well, we will be a church that God is pleased with. That we would either be hot or cold. And so I just exhort you to really eagerly desire these things, to be able to hear God clearly, to prophesy accurately, and to heal miraculously. It is possible. It is in what is impossible for humans is possible with God. And God has made it accessible and possible for each and every one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Yes, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that dwells in each and every one of us. Lord, I do pray that you would allow, Lord, JCCT to be a place where we would encounter you. I'm just going to just throw out a couple of things, and if this fits... If these descriptions fits you, just go ahead and come up here at the end of service and I'd love to pray for you. But if someone has just inflammation in the joints, maybe it could be even carpal tunnel. And if you have just I don't know, your stomach or your digestive system is just, you feel like it's rotten in the inside or something like that. I feel like God wants to touch you. If that fits you, then please come up at the end of the service. Again, I'm just human, so I could be wrong in these things. But Father, we do thank you so much for your grace, Lord. We just pray that you would continue to teach us, Lord, how to do the deeds, do the works of Jesus, and that we won't just be a busy church, but we would be a church that is busy doing your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.